Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Greg, thank you very much for that. Now, from how you prepare your morning coffee to how we shop to how we grieve, rituals affect every part of our lives. But just why do we rely on them and what happens when they are disrupted? Is too much reliance on a ritual a bad thing? Well, joining us to discuss the good, bad and ugly of rituals is behavioural psychologist Pork Walsh. And Pork, you're welcome to the programme as always. And firstly, just to be clear what we're talking about, when we talk about rituals, what are we talking about? What are they?
Rituals are slightly different from habits. Habits can be automatic, they can be unconscious. A ritual is something that we do purposefully, and they're intentional, they're imbued with meaning and purpose. So we can have something like a micro ritual, like you said, our morning coffee or our morning personal routine or how we prepare ourselves for exercise. But there can also be macro rituals, like you say, ceremonies, you know, the births and deaths and all of everything in between. So they're designed to evoke certain emotions within us. That might be, you know, the example of somebody going into a yoga studio. Collectively, we go in with a certain mindset, with a certain feeling, with a certain set of thoughts. We go through certain behavioral actions and we leave hopefully feeling differently. So oftentimes what we have is this connection between emotions and thoughts, evoking particular behaviours from us. But this is different because a ritual is a set of behaviours designed to make us feel and think differently.
Okay, and feel and think a certain way, I suppose, is the expectation when you go into it from the start, by the sounds of that. So are there risks then? Like, are rituals good? as a general sense, are they good for us?
Rituals can be great. Rituals can help us. Like, Barack Obama had a series of suits that he would not deviate from. And he would lean on those because he said, you know, there's too much for us to think about throughout our normal day. As parents, if you are a parent and you're trying to create rituals, they can be outstandingly helpful for creating that sense of security, consistency and safety around your children. Where you hear a child saying to you, I'm bored because everything is the same and it's always movie night of a Friday and we always do this of a Saturday morning. I'm bored. That's kind of a sign that you're doing a good job as a parent. Mm. You know, that's the gift that we can give to our we can give to our kids, without a doubt. We can gift, you know, where we're creating ritual around things for them. For ourselves as well, it creates this sense of safety for us. It helps us to get into gear, to get into warm-up phase. You know, like if we have an exercise routine, and it can be very, very difficult to go from 0 to 60, we warm up, we physically warm up, and that ritual and everything associated with it. If you've ever been in a dressing room and you smell deep heat and you start to feel a particular way, if you've ever walked into a church and you've smelled incense and you start to, it evokes those feelings within you, you've been subject to ritual and they've been really helpful.
Can I ask you then, the way you describe a ritual, right, the solemnity, the thought that goes into it, the time it takes, the care you I'm trying to think, do I have any rituals in my own life? And I can't think of any. Does that mean my life lacks meaning?
No, it just means you're not tuned into the rituals that already exist. And sometimes we inherit these rituals. So I'm sure there are traditions that you would have around Christmas or that you would generate yourself or even within your family for your own sake. You will have rituals that you will consciously do. You know, you may have consciously done them 10 years ago, 20 years ago, Cormac, but they have evolved and they remain as something that you lean on throughout the day.
Like, he goes out for tea now, for example.
Yeah, but that's a habit though, isn't it?
That's the question.
So let me ask you this, right? You bring up the only one that I could think of, right?
Cormac goes for tea during the show.
Yeah.
That's the depth of his ritual.
No, but the morning coffee, right, seems like a ritual to me, but it seems too much lacking in depth, right? And here's the oddity. I also get a scone and I cut the scone in half, but I didn't cut the half in half. So I cut it into quarters. That's the way I like it. I don't like it any other way. Yeah. Do not give me a full half. Just give me the quarter. Is that a ritual or a habit?
Usually,
an oddity?
Usually it's an oddity. Let's be honest, all right? But usually...
radio.
Yeah, this is groundbreaking stuff. But what you have is usually rituals are collective things that we do socially. So they're designed for social bonding.
Okay.
Rituals are the idea of, you know, releasing endorphins when we sing together, where we have a sense of ceremony around it. Now, interestingly, where you can have a habit and it doesn't have that sense of ceremony around it, it might lack enjoyment. So, for instance, you might, you know, be very utilitarian about something like going shopping or eating. eating is a very good example, mm-hmm. where you find it very functional, either individually or as a family. Your job is to get the food into your mouth and that's it, okay? Mm-hmm. Or you can set a ceremony around this, set a ritual around this, designed to evoke certain feelings, be it bonding as a family or as a team, be it to create relaxation.
No, I'm not buying this. So you're saying shopping is a ritual, but me cutting my scone into quarters is just an oddity?
It is a ritual and an oddity, Cormac. You can have it as your idiosyncratic ritual. We won't debate it. We won't argue the toss over
okay,
that.
Let's talk about other people's rituals for a second. We move on from Cormac's scone. In Ireland, obviously, religious ritual was huge and still is for an awful lot of people. And then you see people who have maybe moved away from religion. I think this is really interesting, searching for something else to replace that. Don't a lot of people? It's interesting.
Religion had always got a very strong psychological comfort for us, and that idea of ritual at really important moments in our life is really crucial. And like, we take something like Catholicism and the idea of prayer, and you know, when you look at it from a very logical perspective, you say this is something that is repeated ad nauseum over and over again, and it loses its meaning at a certain stage. But where you put, you know, moments in your life where you are, you know, saying goodbye to somebody for the last time, and it just does not, you know, stand to logical reason how you can, you know, cope with that moment. What do? We end up saying 10 decades of the rosary and you say the same thing over and over again with the people you love around you. Mm-hmm. Because saying something that can console you emotionally, saying something that can create some sort of cognitive reason justifies those moments. So that ritual is designed to comfort. It's designed to bond. And what it does is it evokes, even at a neurological level, those feelings of, you know, of bonding with us.
Okay, so all that makes an awful lot of sense to me, and it also makes sense why people would search out secular rituals perhaps to replace religious rituals if they've moved away from religion. Now, what if you are too attached to your rituals? What if, you know, you have various rituals in your life, but if you don't get to do them, or if they don't go exactly as planned, you go into the yoga studio, it doesn't smell quite right, or people are a bit noisy, and you know, you don't get the feeling that you're expecting, and you're just antsy now because things haven't. So what happens then?
Rituals are designed to try and evoke those feelings. They're not a crutch for you to lean on. They're not something that are magical. The other thing with rituals that can be really troublesome is because they're such a collective thing, traditions pass from generation to generation. And, you know, the expectation that, well, this is our tradition, this is our ritual, you all need to do this, can often cause a lot of friction. Yeah. So where there is that inflexibility for people, where there isn't that, I suppose, will to maybe reinvent traditions that might have been there before, where there is this...
What should you do with that then? Because I know someone who has steak for breakfast with a glass of red wine every Christmas morning. And
for breakfast?
Doing, yeah.
Really?
So this is, I suppose you call it more a tradition than a ritual, maybe, but I don't know where the line is there. But it's very important to him, and he's been doing it, and his family have been doing it. But what if, like, I don't know, his children say, well, we don't want steak for breakfast, you know, and that ritual ends here.
And that often happens, you know, and that's fine. You take, like, Buzz Lightyear coming into Toy Story, and he completely disrupts the whole run of things. It's a bit like Meghan Markle coming into the royal family. There were a lot of traditions there. You know, Meghan Markle is the Buzz Lightyear of the royal family. You come in and you disrupt these traditions and these rituals that had been present and say, look, we're going to try and reinvent this. And often it can lead to that kind of friction. I don't know the answer for your friend and the red wine, but often you might find that for other people that doesn't work. If he's flexible around that and saying, look, I'm amenable to change here, or we can adapt this, that's great. And that's what we see when we map on religious, formerly religious ceremonies onto secular, where there can be a nice smooth transition. Okay. Because we realise the importance of marking these moments for grounding ourselves as we go through that journey of life, and they mark those occasions.
Okay.
But yeah, that's where it lands.
Pork, really fascinating to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really interested to hear from our listeners in this to 51551. Your strange and unusual rituals. Is it cutting a scone into quarters?
Yum, yum, yum.
Come on, you can excite us. Text us to 51551.